Welcome to the Chronic Podcast with host Ralph Malvro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of Hakeem Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No doubt.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his... I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malvro.
Welcome to the Chronic Podcast. It's the end of June, so there isn't much Saints news at all. Jimmy Graham, still not signed. He finished his little hearing. Dave, they're going to sign him right on the 15th, aren't they?
They're going to sign him... Yeah, usually it's like 4 p.m. is 4 p.m. Eastern is usually like the deadline hours. So it'll be like...
Hello.
There's Kevin. Like,
Kevin, you're interrupting me.
Yeah, sorry.
It'll be like 3:55 p.m.
Okay. That early, huh?
Okay, so the 15th would be a Tuesday, right? So they'll probably get it done Friday so they can take a long weekend. So they'll probably sign like on the 11th at like 4 o'clock. Right?
Maybe.
The thing about Graham is I think I've finally reached the point, and I think we've all been incredible with this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, it just, there's nothing left. There's like, there's nothing left to say. I mean, either they're, right. If he wins the grievance and the Saints haven't signed him, it kind of blows up their cap, and then you could have interesting thing happen where they got to redo Breeze probably a year earlier than they want to, or different, Loomis has got to do a little Loomis magic to make it fit. But anyway, Jimmy Graham, there's what else to say. All right, before we get to World Cup stuff, and we got Saints-related World Cup questions from Twitter that are fantastic, so we'll get to those. But me and Juge got into an argument on Twitter because you did a thing, you ranked the most valuable Saints, and you had Morstead in the top 10, which I said is total bullshit. You can't have a punter in the top 10 most valuable Saints.
So we punters are people too.
Right? I said, let's play a game. So, America, welcome to the newest game show. Are you more valuable than Thomas Morstead's leg? This is how it goes. Behind door number one is Thomas Morstead. Behind door number two is a random Saint. Our contestants today get to pick either Thomas Morstead or player that's behind door number two. Whoever they pick is out for the season. So that's how we'll decide who's more valuable than Thomas Morstead's legs. Kevin Held, do you want to play who's more valuable than Thomas Morstead's leg?
Sure.
All right, that's how it works. Get to ask me two questions about the mystery Saint player behind door number two, and I can answer the questions any way I want, but I gotta be honest. So ask me your two questions about the mystery Saints player behind door number two.
Does the player wear number 9 on his jersey?
He does not wear a jersey number lower than 65.
Is he bigger than a breadbasket?
No. I got a second question. Okay. Is he a starter?
He is a starter.
You know what? Fuck it. I'm going to start this thing off wild. I'm going to take Morstead's leg.
Congratulations, Kevin. Kenny Stills is out for the 2014 season. So Joe Morgan can drop more passes or catch more bombs. Congratulations. Thomas Morstead will punt an extra 0.7 times per game because Kenny Stills is out for the year. All right, Andrew, are you ready to play? Are you more valuable than Thomas Morstead's leg?
I'm ready.
All right. Ask your first question.
Uh, Does this player play on defense?
He does play on defense.
Okay. All right. Does this player have a number above 60?
He does have a number above 60.
Oh, God. Oh, God. It could be Cam Jordan. oh, God. I'm going to pray this is Broderick Bunkley, and I love John Jenkins, so I'm going to go – I'm keeping Morstead.
No! Oh, Junior Gallette is out for the 2015 season.
You lost the double-digit sack guy.
But congratulations, you have an all-pro punter for 16 weeks. Dave, do you want to play Are You More Valuable Than Thomas Morstead's Leg?
Yeah, I only get two questions.
You only get two questions.
Okay. They can be you can whatever ask, questions. They don't have to be.
You can ask any yes no any questions you want.
What college did this player attend?
This player did not attend an SEC college.
And is this player on offense or defense?
This player is offense.
An offensive player that didn't go to an SEC college.
That's pretty much every single player on the offense. Thanks for narrowing it down.
That could be, yeah, I mean, that could be Drew. That could be PT. I'm going to assume that it's PT. So I'll take the offensive player.
Oh, congratulations. The Saints will have Drew Brees for the 2014 season. Oh. They'll have to get a random punter off the street and
shrug. Okay. That's okay. I did good. I did good.
Yeah. All right. So we'll go one more time. Kevin, do you want to play one more time?
Yes.
Okay. Go with your two questions.
My wife's here. Should I get her to play?
You can.
She doesn't want to play.
No.
Ooh, my wife's here. We can get her. Oh, no, she doesn't want to play.
So.
You sure you don't want to play?
Yeah.
Here, hold on.
Really right. Come on. Play.
What do I do?
You just have to ask me.
All right, she wants to play.
Okay.
The two rule. You ask Ralph two questions, and then you have to decide: would you rather lose this player or lose Thomas Morstead for the year? You can ask him two questions to figure out what player it is.
I'm sure she's really into this.
Yeah, okay. She is.
Has this player ever been to the Pro Bowl?
He has not. He has not been to the Pro Bowl.
Okay. Does this player play on offense or defense?
He plays on defense.
Then I'm going with Morstead's leg.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't have Hakeem Hicks for the 2014 season.
Yeah, that's brutal.
all right.
You did better than me. Ralph, I lost Junior Gallette.
Yeah.
Ralph still can't pronounce the Hakeem Hicks' name correctly.
Hakeem Hicks. Yeah. So, all right, Kevin, go ahead. Ask your two questions.
All right. Let's see.
And they don't have to be like – you can ask any kind of question you want to try to glean more information.
You're not giving us anything.
Well, I'm trying – I can't – you know, like I try to make it – I'll do a little better job to make it
– Does this player weigh over 300 pounds?
This player, that's a really good question, Kevin. This player does not weigh over 300 pounds.
It sounds like he sounded confused, so it sounds close.
Yeah. Let's see.
I'm thinking maybe a linebacker. It could be Curtis Walker.
Well, he's got one more. Kevin's got one more question.
Yeah. I'm getting there. Was this player acquired by trade?
He was not acquired by trade.
That narrows it down to like one guy.
Yeah.
How many veterans have they traded for?
I know. It backfired on me.
That was a terrible question.
I got to balance out. I follow up a good question with a bad question. I'm going to keep the player.
You're going to keep the player? You kept Benjamin Watson.
Oh, you totally should have kept the leg.
I was thinking y'all were going to start asking me questions like, did he catch more than 50 passes? And, you know, did he have this many tackles?
That would require us looking up stats.
Well, no. Well, the best question was my wife asking the Pro Bowl question. I wish I had thought of
that.
Yeah,
that's a good one. All right, Andrew, you'll go and then Dave will go one more time and then we'll go on other things.
All right.
I ask your two. Let me decide who I got. All right, I've got my player. Ask your two questions.
Did the player score a touchdown in 2013?
He did not score a touchdown.
Okay. Did the player register more than two turnovers?
That's a good question. And I couldn't just
fumble recovery or interception.
He did not.
I'm going to guess this is Hawthorne or Lofton. So I'm going to keep the leg.
Good job, Andrew. Curtis Lofton is out for the year. Saints have
plenty of bodies. I was hoping it would be Hawthorne.
That's good questions, though. That's a good job out of you, Andrew. All right, Dave, the final round for...
We're not doing very well on this, are we?
The final round of are you more valuable than Thomas Morstead's leg?
Yeah, well, okay.
Ask your questions.
Offense or defense?
This one is offense.
Okay.
It's Teron Armstead, I bet.
No, it's either...
Ben Grubbs, maybe?
We've already done a wide receiver. He hasn't done a running back, or he hasn't done an offensive lineman.
It's your boy. It's got to be Ingram. It's your boy, man.
Hold on. Does this player wear...
Does Dave have the hots for this guy?
does this player wear a number in the 20s?
He does not. He does not have a number in the 20s.
I'm gonna say if he's not a running back, he's already done. I'm gonna say he's an offensive lineman. So I'm gonna say I'll take the leg.
Jonathan Goodwin is out for the year.
Yeah, that's fine. We could take him.
Hey,
nailed it again.
So this game is fun, and we have the $25,000 pyramid music playing in the background now. But I mean, the point I was trying to make with Andrew was, Andrew, I don't think you can have a punter in the top 10 because basically any starter that you have on the team is more valuable than him if you use the criteria, would I rather that person or this person injured for the year? Does that make sense? Or
it makes sense. I think the point I was trying to make about why Morstead is so valuable is if he goes down, all of a sudden it's not only – you don't only need to replace him, but it costs someone else their job. And the reason I say that is there's not many punters out there in the NFL period, and certainly not a lot of punters out there on the open market that can kick off. And I know for a fact that Shane Graham can't kick off because he has no leg. So basically they would have to get a kickoff guy and a punter if he goes down, which means they would have to get a guy to replace Morstead pound for pound when Morstead goes on IR. But they'd have to cut a guy, too, to make space for a kickoff man. So, you know, I think that that's pretty valuable when you've got a guy that basically takes up two roster spots.
Yeah, I was going to say the other argument you can make is you could say, well, he's better at his – he's more elite at his job than other Saints players. But
well, there's no question that's true.
I mean, I just – Kevin, you can jump in. I just feel like he's a punter, and no matter how good he is – I would say I would rank about 15 Saints starters ahead of him in value. Kevin?
Yeah, no. I'm still here. What, am I on mute? No. I'm still here.
You're here. I was just – you were taking a while. So do you – how
anywhere between 10 and – anywhere between 10 and 15 sounds fair. I would just say, look, ambush.
Ambush.
I mean, really, isn't that all you got to say?
Yeah.
The fucking ambush?
But that's more like a Hall of Fame question. That's not like in the now value. That's like career sort of.
All right, fine. He's still pinning guys deep.
Yeah.
He's also not afraid to run after
in the league. I mean, you don't think
he's easily one of the three or four best punters in the league. He's also not afraid to run after a guy and try and knock him over or shove him out of bounds. I mean, how many punters are, like, really enthusiastic about getting anywhere near where the action is?
And you know what else I just thought of? And I thought after we did this game I would be rock solid mocking Andrew for having him in the top 10. But I just thought of something, too. Andrew, the Saints' special teams are a dumpster fire, the coverage with Thomas Morstead. How bad would they be without him?
Yeah, I mean, you think about kickoffs and you think about the luxury of it being an automatic touchback every time. Well, those kicks are being returned probably at an 80% clip if Shane Graham's kicking off. And then, of course, with the punting, I mean, he's so good at directional punting and at hang time that, you know, I remember the times that he's faced guys like Devin Hester or some of the other elite returners in the game, and he's completely kept them in check. And, you know, if you've got an average punter in there that's just kicking it as hard as he can and not really doing the small things right, then, you know, those are guys that can really hurt you, and it turns field position over.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the duration of our Saints talk for tonight. And we're going to talk – look, we're going to talk about the World Cup. And if you don't like soccer, what are you going to do for the next month? You're un-American. America loves
Mark!
Yeah. And, Kevin, somebody asked on the podcast, and I can't find it in my mentions, but it was a great Twitter question, and we'll start off with that when we talk about soccer. And they asked, too, what's the Saints' equivalent to what happened to the United States? Basically, they gave up a goal on literally the last – play of the soccer game in stoppage time. If the guy doesn't score the goal for Portugal, the referee blows a whistle and the United States is through. So, like, what's the Saints equivalent of that? And I thought about it, and Kevin, I'm going to say the Saints equivalent of that is the loss last year in Carolina, where
and New England, they were both the same.
Well, no.
Oh, yeah. England one felt, yeah, that's
well,
a good one.
Well, I'm going to say the Carolina one, because the Carolina one took control of the Saints winning the division out of their hands, but the next week they could still qualify for the playoffs. They could still maybe get a home playoff game, maybe get a bye. Same thing with the United States soccer. They tied Portugal. They could still win the group. They could still go through. They still have all these permutations. The Saints could have lost to Tampa if Arizona would have lost and gotten the playoffs, but if they make one big play against Carolina and hold them, they win. They get a week off. They probably play in the NFC Championship game. So I would say New England's a good comparison, but Carolina is closer to what it is. But Dave, make your case for New England.
Nah, I mean, I wasn't taking it as far as you took it. You know, I wasn't taking into consideration, you know, the standings and all of that and the future. So I guess in that sense, I would certainly agree with you. But I mean, just from a game standpoint, from watching the game and from, you know, feeling like your team has it in the bag, and then just completely giving it up with such little time left and ending up losing, you know, the Patriots game obviously falls in that category either. Technically, there really is no equivalent, because I mean,
I've got a better
one.
Both
the Patriots, both.
Oh,
the Patriots
actually, wait,
game,
I've got one too.
Both go, the Patriots go. Game and the Panthers game, you know, the Saints actually wound up losing. I mean, in this game, in the soccer game, the World Cup game, I mean, that last goal that was scored at the end of the game was just to tie it up. I mean, the U.S. team, they didn't lose the game. They just failed to win it. So,
Andrew, go ahead.
The one I think of, and I don't really think Carolina and New England apply, because it's not like the Saints. I mean, the situation, it was still plausible that the Saints could lose. I mean, it was going to take a masterful drive by Cam Newton or Tom Brady. They were going to have to make a bunch of throws, but it was still in the realm of possibility. I think when the drive started, we all realized, like, oh, shit, they could theoretically lose this. But I think with U.S. and Portugal, like, it was done. There was 30 seconds left, and really, I mean, it took an egregious mistake by Michael Bradley giving up a turnover to even
and
give
piss
him
poor
a chance.
Defending.
And piss poor defending. So I actually kind of liken it to the Tampa game years ago when Devery Henderson and Reggie Bush, they did like the end around on third down.
Oh, like yeah.
That's good.
And then they fumble the ball in their own territory and basically allow Tampa to win the game by turning it over in their own territory when there was like 30 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
I like that one. Okay, mine is from the Hazlitt years. And
oh, God,
it's,
no.
I want to say.
I know what you're going to say. Oh, God.
Oh, God, man. Oh, shit. I can't remember which team it was now. well, I mean, because we lost to both of them and they kind of merged together. I want to say it was the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah.
Hail
Mary was Ditka.
Oh, that was fucking Ditka?
Yeah.
Are you
Hail
sure?
Mary? Yeah, the Tim Couch Hail Mary?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Vikings game where Culpepper like fumbles the 2-point conversion into the end zone and scores.
No. I could have swore that was fucking Ditka and they were going for the play and they were still in the playoffs.
Tim Couch was Ditka.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, and this was the Hail Mary where like three guys couldn't fucking knock it down and it was right by the pylon.
That would be the one.
Fuck.
At the buzzer.
Whatever, dude. Buzzer. I'm sticking with it.
Yeah, that was a brutal one. They didn't have as much a stake as the soccer team, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I thought that it was the Hazlitt year, so shame on me.
As far as the game, Andrew, just an egregious physical error by Bradley. I don't think it was a mental error, but you can't give up the ball in that spot. That's the equivalent of like running out the clock and fumbling the snap.
No, and the guy that was responsible for the first goal, Jeff Cameron, who actually had a pretty good game other than two egregious mistakes, he's not free of blame here either because, you know, the cardinal sin, you know, rule 101 of soccer is you don't let the guy get behind you, you know, the attacker get behind you, especially when you're the last defender. And for the ball to be in the air that long and for him to allow a guy to get behind him and basically just – point blank range.
One guy in the box for Portugal.
You got one guy in the box. How can you not mark him? So, I mean, just absolutely comedy of errors, egregious fluke, pie in the sky, Hail Mary situation.
The one decent touch Ronaldo has all effing game, and it is a laser.
What? How are we feeling, Kevin? How are we feeling about Germany? I go back and forth. Part of me thinks, if you want to play for a tie in soccer, you can damn near almost do it.
Yeah, like I've thought about it, and the best I've got is they're going to play the first 45 minutes. And if it's tied at the end of the first half, I really believe they're going to come back in the second half, and they're going to just play fucking grab ass in the second half.
I mean, the United States in 06, they got a draw against Italy with 10 guys. So, I mean, you can – Andrew, I don't know.
Take that, Italy.
But, Andrew
– Oh, you mean that team that's eliminated from this World Cup and unable to make the round of 16?
Yeah, fuck them.
Andrew, how are you feeling? Because you were pretty panicky, as was the rest of America on Twitter after the game. How are you feeling about Thursday?
Not good. Not good at all. I mean, I don't see how you see that whole situation unfold and not feel like they blew their chance. Like, I don't see how you can be optimistic when they were in. It was done, and the whole thing fell apart right before our eyes. That was their chance to get in the next round. Now they've got to play a team that is by far the best team in the group, clearly. And, you know, everybody's talking about Portugal. Well, Portugal needs to make up all these goals. Portugal's not going to do anything. Portugal's going to lose to Ghana.
Portugal
right?
didn't even care. They didn't even no. care. They
Ghana
didn't even
is
care
the threat
that they
here.
Tied the game against the United States. They were like,
Ghana,
whatever.
Yeah, Ghana is the threat here. And the bottom line is if the U.S. loses 1-0 and Ghana wins 2-1, Ghana advances. So I see that as a huge threat. And I see these metrics that the U.S. has like a 70-something percent chance of advancing. I don't buy that. I think the more realistic scenario is Ghana wins and U.S. loses and we're out. I think it's higher than 50-50.
Here's a scenario that I think is pretty likely, though, that could help the United States, and tell me if I'm crazy, any Dave or anybody. I see Ghana dump trucking Portugal, and I could see Ghana being up 2-0 at the half, and Germany, if the United States say it's 0-0, Germany saying, oh, Ghana's up 2-0. You know what? They're getting close to us on goal difference. Maybe we just need to play for a tie. And that could help the United States.
Yeah, but if that's the case, I mean, why wouldn't they just decide, all right, we're going to try and kick it into another gear and score a goal? Because if we get...
Ralph, you're assuming that we're going to go on an entire half with Germany without getting scored on.
Well, if the United States, if they don't give up a goal in the first 5 minutes of the game, they're usually pretty solid. That's their big issue. But...
Yeah, I mean, shit, dude, that Portugal game, outside of the first 5 minutes where they made a boneheaded mistake, I mean, they were on point more that – what do we have, Mr. Ed on the phone?
No, I was going to – Dave is sleeping. Dave, I was going to ask you this. As a non-soccer person, are you swept up at this at all in the America? We're watching soccer. The ratings are huge. You don't care about soccer at all?
Oh, wait, what are you talking to me?
No, yeah, like, you're not a soccer guy, but are you, like, swept up? Were you watching Portugal? Were you having your little son cheer? And?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I did get swept up, you know, I will admit. I mean, I'm you know, you guys are using these soccer terms and talking about people that I have no idea, you know, who these – I know Ronaldo, you know, and I know Bradley, and I know a couple of the U.S. guys, but – you know, I don't know what the situations are for the, I know if the U.S. wins, they're into the round of 16, but I don't know all the other metrics. You know, what happens if the U.S. loses, but you know, this other team wins, or this team scores two goals, or this team scores two
actually, I'll make it simple for you, Dave. If the U.S. ties, or if the other game ties, if either game ties, we're in.
Okay.
Well, you know, what would be a fun scenario though, if Ghana, if Portugal wins 3-0 and the U.S. loses 3-1, then they flip a coin to see who goes through between Portugal and the United States.
Well, you know we're fucked in that scenario.
Oh, yeah. I guarantee you Portugal's soccer budget's probably bigger, so it'll be a two-sided coin.
All right.
I mean, I just don't understand why going into this, everybody was like, oh, you know, as soon as they announced what the divisions were going to be, and we were in the division of death. Everybody's like, all
group of death.
It's over. Yeah, group of death, whatever. Oh, it's over, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I would say that the U.S. has held their own. So, I mean,
well,
nobody
yes.
knows what the fuck they're talking about. Or
well,
this is the biggest Cinderella story of all of soccer World Cup history. So it's got to be one of the two.
Listen, Germany has been like a top five team in the world for a number of years. Portugal is like top 10, and Ghana is the team that knocked the United States out of the World Cup the last two times. Right. So the United States is like not ranked as high, like maybe they're like 20 or something. And so, you know, going in, it's looking tough. I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo won the award this year for like best soccer player on earth. So
who's giving that award out?
FIFA, which is the group that runs World Soccer.
I play it on Xbox.
Yeah, okay. So then that's the – yeah, so then those people are important, sadly.
You know, here's what I don't get. The World Cup symbol this year, their logo, it's all hands. It's all hands. I don't get that. That's the one part of the body you can't use in soccer. Who is the genius behind that logo?
It's the trophy, right? It holds up the globe or something.
Yeah.
Well, here's
– it's a terrible logo. It's all hands.
Who were the ad wizards who came up with that one?
Well, we'll get to the
only thing that survived the crash, why don't they just make the whole plane?
I mean, I'll tell you this. As a U.S. soccer fan – pretty much my whole life. I mean, I was into soccer at a very young age. So as a U.S. soccer fan for pretty much my whole life.
Plus, you're a hipster soccer fan then.
Yeah, I guess. Well, I grew up in France. I was an American, but I was living in France. So, you know, soccer was all over the place there. So
Jürgen Klinsmann should want you then. You were born in a foreign country.
That's right. Correct. I actually wasn't born in France, but I moved there when I was 3 months old. So.
Oh, well, okay, whatever.
But close enough, right? But anyway, I think the thing is, I kind of liken this to being a Saints fan pre-2000 when they won a playoff game. In other words, the U.S. just has such a horrific history with soccer. They've never been any good. That someone was joking about this on Twitter, but there is very much a same old Saints mentality, at least that I hold, with U.S. soccer. In other words, it's like this goal that Portugal scored, it wasn't like, oh, man, it came down to the wire. It just feels like same old USA. Just they get close. They have some pretty good teams, but they can't get it done in the crunch time. And that just felt like that all over.
I don't know if that's a fair comparison because, I mean, they've got to the knockout stage. They've won knockout stage games. The Saints pre-2000 hadn't won diddly squat.
No, it's true. It's true. I just feel like it's another example of kind of them underachieving, or at least having a tremendous opportunity and not being able to seize it.
All right, we got some fun Twitter questions. So I want to get to them. So this one's from John Frederick. Dave, would you trade losing both Falcon games but making the playoffs for the U.S. winning the World Cup?
I don't give a shit about the U.S. winning the World Cup, so. I'll take the two wins over the Falcons. Can they beat the Falcons twice and go to the playoffs? Is it an either-or proposition?
No.
I don't.
You don't care enough about America to give up the Saints?
I mean, I care a lot about America.
I think the caveat is, Dave, is that they'll beat the Falcons at least once, but then you get no guarantees of playoff.
Yeah.
On the flip side of the coin.
Well, I want them to make the playoffs, so that's more important to me.
All right. Let me sell you on this, though, because this is the big thing. This is the big thing that really, like, for whatever reason, I become, like, ultra-jingoistic during the World Cup. Like, even more so than the Olympics. Like, I'm all rah-rah-rah USA, USA, but when the World Cup starts – I'm putting every nation on earth on full blast.
And your Jingo Unchained?
Yeah. Well done.
Like the Olympics, if a United States person loses in the Olympics, I don't give a shit. Like Sunday I was legitimately bummed out. I was like, oh man.
Right. But so here's the deal though. Soccer is never gonna be the big thing in America that a whole bunch of people think it should be or want it to be or all that kind of shit. But it can still be good. The U.S. can still field a better team, like can still get better athletes and all that kind of shit. That's the great thing because the nation's so damn huge and all that. But it's still the world's game. The world invests so much of their fucking time and energy and lives into
it. Go to bbcsport.com if you want to see.
What do you fucking think the world is going to do for 4 years if/when the United States wins the World Cup?
I don't even.
It's going to be 4 years of fucking red, white, and blue darkness. Okay? It is – every motherfucker is going to come out of the woodwork. We are going to be running – I'm going to be running my fucking mouth from here to eternity. And I guarantee you, there's guys that are better expert at it than me that are just going to take every opportunity to blast Italy, to blast France, to blast China. Well, yeah, I know I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it anyway.
China has a soccer team?
Women's team, I think.
But – Blast them all. Your precious fucking trophy, we're going to have it.
All right.
We're going to have it. And you know what? I hope somebody photoshops whoever the president is at the time dangling their fucking nuts on it.
This is a question from Super Saiyan Saint.
I think Pete Nerdy did that.
So this is a question from Super Saiyan Saint.
You know, you can always count on Brian to drop a podcast question for us. I'll always count on him.
This is a specific one for me, though. If the next DirecTV commercial has a Mexican mechanic marionette, your wife will blank. My wife will have an aneurysm, then wake up, then start murdering people. My wife hates those DirecTV commercials so much that if they added a Mexican marionette to the mix, I would legitimately be worried for her health and my health. This is for Andrew, for you. Over under, this is from Dylan. Over under Falcons regular season wins is at 4. Over under 4.
Well, he set it at 4?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think we can expect a perfect storm of just injuries and just falling apart. So I'm going to say they win 4 games, but it won't be that much more, I think.
Ooh, that's Tony,
not... Tony Gonzalez is not being there is I think, a big factor, a huge factor for that offense. And I just don't really like what they did this offseason. I mean, they added Hester. They added a bunch of high-priced defensive players that I honestly don't think made them that much better.
No.
And they draft Jake Matthews, you know, but other than that, the offensive line, eh.
They lost Witherspoon.
They've lost Witherspoon. So, honestly, I mean, I think they're a 5-6 win team. I think they'll win more than 4, but not much.
All right. Dave, who would you – Dave, how bad do you want to party with – the Rob Lombardi? Ryan and Miguel Herrera, the Mexican soccer coach in Brazil.
I have no idea who Miguel Herrera is. I'm assuming
he's Rob Ryan's Mexican equivalent. sans beard.
Dave, is two he words. Overweight? Dave.
Oh yeah.
Muchas cervezas.
He's quite portly.
Go to Grantland. They did a gif of him turning. They did a gif of him turning into a superhero.
He wears a suit, a full suit, and runs around like a 9-year-old at a wedding.
That's Jim Harbaugh.
Rex Ryan is in Brazil.
Oh, gee. Are you shitting me?
No, Rex Ryan is in Brazil. So, Dave, would you give a week's pay if you could have a picture of Rex and Rob Ryan in the stadium at U.S. Germany for Thursday? And you could have it, and you could post it on Canal Street Chronicle, and only you could have it.
Would I give up a week's pay? I would give up a week's Canal Street Chronicle's pay, because that wouldn't be very much. I would totally give that up.
How much traffic would that do?
It would do well. It would do well for us. I mean, those kind of things, though, people wind up just stealing and then posting it themselves, and then you don't get all the credit for it, but... at least from the get-go, that would be a big help. But, I mean, I don't get paid on traffic, so I don't really give a crap about that. But it'd still be nice to get a little exclusive photo of the Rob Ryan boys partying up in Brazil with some, like, you know, half-naked Brazilian chicks.
So if I give up a week's pay of Saints Nation, is that basically like me getting paid? Since the site loses money.
Kevin, would Twitter break if the United States scored a winning goal and ESPN cut to Rex and Rob Ryan drunk in the stands?
Oh, that would have to be a SportsCenter top 10 for sure.
Like they were smoking.
Especially if Rex was giving Rob a foot massage.
If one minute Rex is down there giving Rob a foot massage. Rob's paying attention watching the game. Rex thinks it's over. And all of a sudden, score. Rob dumps beer or whatever on Rex's head. They both get up and start hugging each other and chest bumping and high-fiving everybody around them. And all their, like, you know, just a lot of wet hair flying around. Yeah, that would be amusing.
This is another question from Super Saiyan Saint, Andrew. Worst part of the Italy game, Suarez fighting the dude or the flop that followed?
Yeah. I mean, the biting thing is just out of control. This is the third time now.
Third time he's bitten someone. I did not know that.
And he's thrown a racist slur at somebody, too.
Yeah, he's.
I mean, that's just egregious. I mean, the guy clearly has mental issues. He has a biting fetish. He needs to be kicked out of the World Cup, straight up. He should not play another game. I feel pretty strong about that. And in fact... I will be on this podcast raising hell if they don't do that.
Will they?
That needs to happen. They have to. I mean, this guy has a history of it.
Bit a dude.
Yeah, he bit a dude. And you can't say it's not intentional. You can't say it's an accident. You know, when it's the third time the guy's done it.
Yeah. His nickname is the Cannibal.
Right.
I don't
know. No, isn't that really his nickname?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's the equivalent of, like, LeBron James biting Tim Duncan in the NBA Finals.
And I tell you what, I mean, that guy has enough teeth to give half the women in Rio a hysterectomy.
It's the equivalent of Mike Tyson biting Evander Holyfield. Oh, wait, that happened.
But you know what? That wasn't even the worst thing. That really wasn't even the worst thing. You know what was the worst thing? Just Italy in general. Just Mamma Mia, I fell it down. Oh, I've been shot the 10th time by a sniper bullet. Oh, I wave my hands. I try to get the ref's attention. Oh, where does my hair gel? Oh,
yeah. If there's anyone
that 5 o'clock shadow and it's only 2. Oh, fuck yeah, off. The entire Italian soccer team can suck a big fat one before they get on their fucking plane, back to that shit boot, and they can go and do whatever the fuck they want to do, ride around in their little shitty mopeds and their little shitty cars in their tiny little fucking cobblestone roads, and they can go and pray for like 2 seconds before they hop in front of the mirror for an hour and a half, fix their fucking hair, cook their fucking food, and then go and harangue and talk about the dumbass Americans. Fuck off!
Yeah, if there's anyone that deserved to be bitten, it was the Italians.
Yes, abso-fucking-lutely.
Andrew,
what nationality are all of you guys?
Oh, Irish, Italian, and German.
Andrew, what World Cup country do you hate the most?
Italy's up there, but France for me is number one. Yeah.
All right, top three.
Top three for me, I'll go France, Italy, and Greece kind of pissed me off today. I think Greece is up there for me after today.
The Greeks.
So, Dave, do you have a particular World Cup team that you hate?
No, I don't know enough about any of the teams.
Pick a fucking country you don't like. They've got a soccer team.
Okay, Ghana, because they beat the U.S. all the time.
Okay, fair enough.
For whatever reason, I don't like Belgium. They have waffles and they eat them with mayonnaise. It's disgusting.
Ugh.
They eat French fries with mayonnaise. It's disgusting. I saw somebody when I went to Belgium. They put mayonnaise on a fucking waffle. That should be a crime against humanity. And because of that, I hate them.
Ugh. All right, so my top three are number three, France, number two, Mexico, and number one, Italy.
Oh, Mexico, shit.
Mexico.
Yeah.
I think my wife is in the other room. She is pumped, but she's worried that they might not be able to beat the Netherlands.
Might not be able to?
They tied Brazil. They tied Brazil.
Yeah.
Is might not be able to Spanish for going to get dump trucked?
They are.
Get all your gifts of the fat coach loving life in now, because that ain't gonna happen.
He might die if they go ahead of the Netherlands 1-0. I would seriously be worried about his health if Mexico could go ahead 1-0, or even better in a shootout. Andrew, him, that would be God's gift to the internet. Mexico, Netherlands, just put a camera on that coach during the shootout.
And keep it on them.
Well, Mexico's dangerous in a shootout because that goalie is amazing.
Yeah. I don't know. All right. That's
He's the best thanks. Thing they got.
Yeah. Thanks for everybody for the questions. Before we get out of here, and Dave, I'll start with you. Is the United States going to get through, and are we going to get to talk about soccer again next week?
Unfortunately, yes.
Andrew, are they going to get through on Thursday?
No, Ghana beats Portugal, USA loses, Ghana advances, and I have a meltdown.
Kevin?
See, they go through! Oh, no!
Oh, fuck. Thank God Italy's out, so we don't have to deal with the Italian Kevin anymore.
No, the snarling dog!
Yeah, my wife said, shouldn't you be on a date or something? Instead of doing your Italian voice,
that's later.
And later.
Post-podcast.
Post-podcast.
Late night.
I think the United States is going to get...
The listeners don't want to hear what happens on Kevin's late night dates.
After hours.
I think the United States is going to get through, but it's going to be fucking excruciating to watch, and they're going to barely get through, and Ghana is going to have to lose. It's going to just be – it's going to be an awful 2 hours on Thursday, but they're going to get through.
Are you guys, like, skipping work? Are you going to go to a bar? And
no,
I'm going to work.
My work is actually putting it on in the conference room.
So Kevin, you're like totally missing the game, or
no. I've got a TV right by me at work, so
Kevin works for a TV station. I would hope there's TVs around.
Right. So,
but checking out, right? I mean, you're not working. You're at work watching the game for a full 90 minutes, right?
Like, I'll be working, but I'll be watching the game as well. Okay. So that way,
working is in air quotes.
I will neither confirm nor deny those spurious allegations of yours. let me just say that I may or may not show up to work in a headband and do lots of fist pumping and scare the people around me.
Do you have a drum? Like, so you say, I believe that we will win, and you'll walk around the
office. No, I'm tempted to get face paint.
Ooh. Kevin will be working hard or hardly working.
Yeah, so that wraps up this podcast. Go to Saints Nation. Andrew's got a bunch of writers now. They're writing stuff. Hungry, hungry, who dats? Got top 10.
That's clever.
It is clever.
What's hungry, hungry, who dats?
It's the main article on saintsnation.com. And then,
right now. Brian, Super Saint, one of his pieces, I think.
You know?
In fact, well, I know.
Check that out right now.
Exactly. And, you know, go to Canal Street Chronicles. Dave's got a bunch of fantastic things to get us through. We're almost there. We're only like less than 30 days away from training camp. You know, he's got the Most Hated Saints tournament going on. If you want to go to that, he's got a video of Brandon Cooks, you know?
Yeah. How far, Dave, how's the Most Hated Saint going? Is that are you still like in the early phases or?
No, we just entered the third round. So, okay.
Williams versus Kuharik is on there now.
Yeah, I mean, so it's going to start to get interesting.
Like the Elite Eight, Ralph, I feel like you need to start promoting this on the podcast and kind of filling us in.
Vote early, vote often.
I would like to know how it compared to our tournament.
Exactly. Then we're going to get to the best Saints wide receiver in history once soccer gets over and we get really desperate for topics. But go to Saints Nation, go to Canal Street Chronicles, and donate to the podcast. Any amount is welcome. And we still have spots for the Fantasy Football League that Kevin has said that he will be commissioner of. We have three people that want to join. We have many more spots.
Who's joining that?
Yeah, Twitter. Find us and tell us you want a spot. And hey,
Dave, can you promote that on our Twitter account?
Yeah.
So
I mean, I'm not logged in right now.
We have spots left, so if you want to do that.
So all four of us are in this, right?
Yeah, so four of us. So we have four of us and eight spots. So we have three people committed. So we have four and three. So we have five more spots available for people for fantasy football. So do that. Donate because we need money to keep the storage and keep the audio up so when Kevin screams and does his Mario Luigi voice, it's crystal clear. So do that. So until next week, be safe and go, go, USA!
Mamma mia!
Das ist gut, ja?
The Germans.